Morning. It's all the same thing. Thank you very much. Okay, good morning, everyone. Daf Kufav. Okay, we had a mission yesterday that introduced us to the final of the 13th parak of Menachos, and the Mishnah dealt with, generally speaking, Nedarim. A person made a Neder to bring a Mincha. So the one case that we're going to be spending almost all of today on is the following scenario. A person said, "Pay Rashti, I know I took it upon myself to bring a Mincha, and I know that it was one of the five voluntary Menachos. The Parsha and Vayikra outlines that there are five of them to bring. So let's mafetanur, two types of mafetanur, chalas rakikin, machvas marchesha. So I know all that, and I know I specified one of them, but I don't know which one I specified. So the Mishnah says, okay, so, right, that's our memory, that's part of the human condition. So the Mishnah says, yavi chamisha san. So you bring five. So you bring five menachos, each one made up of the different types of voluntary offerings that the Torah describes in Perek Beis of Vayikra, and that's it, and that's what you do to take care of your neder. Okay, it's obviously an important obligation to take care of your neder. You made a commitment. You got to keep your commitment. So to cover every base, every possibility, so you bring all five. That is what the Mishnah said. The Gemara yesterday spent a good amount of time discussing one issue, and a very simple issue. Now, it's not so simple, I take it back. But one issue, and that is our Mishnah going even according to Rabbi Shimon? Because according to Rabbi Shimon, there aren't five menachos, there actually are six menachos. And as we learned yesterday, there are six menachos with 14 permutations. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, that mafetanur, that oven-baked mincha, can actually be a composite of chalos and rakikin. And we also know that each mincha is made up of 10 loaves, meaning you take one isarna flour, and of that one isarna flour, you make 10 loaves with that one isarna flour. So according to Rabbi Shimon, your composite mafetanur mincha can be either all chalos, all 10 of them being chalos, all 10 of them being rakikin, or a combination of one chala, 9 rakikin, two chala, 8 rakikin. So that could be what you committed yourself to when you said mafetanur. So according to the Chachamim, it's very straightforward. Because according to the Chachamim, it's either going to be solas, your mafetanur chala, your mafetanur rikikin, machvas macheshes. That's it, according to the Chachamim. But according to Rabbi Shimon, there are 14 different permutations of what it could be when you made that commitment. So fine, so the simple conclusion would be that our Mishnah is not found like Rabbi Shimon. That could be the simple conclusion of the day. The Gemara really tried to avoid that. The Gemara wanted to really bring our Mishnah even in accordance to Rabbi Shimon. And we pretty much did that yesterday. Meaning over the course of yesterday, we got to the top of Kuf Hamad Beis. The Gemara said, yes, our Mishnah could even be going like Rabbi Shimon. How does it work? It works through a Tanai, it works through a condition. Now, the Gemara quoted for us elsewhere where Rabbi Shimon talks about tonight bringing a carbon on condition. Okay, and I mentioned yesterday the case is super complicated. The person is a halachic mess. He's a Suffolk Nazir. He's a Suffolk Mitzora. He's not, in other words, he knows at one point he had some sort of Saras. He knows at one point he had some sort of Nazirus, but he's not sure if he came into contact with Tumas Mates or not. He's not sure if he was a Mitzora Mukhlad or Mitzora Muzgar. He was a mess. And we didn't go through all of it. In fact, the Gemara quotes none of it. Right? I told you, if you want to go through the whole scenario, go through Tosos, which covers side A and side B of Kuf Hei, where Tosos actually goes through the entire sequence of how this person rectifies himself. But the point, the take-home point for us, is that you see that according to Rabbi Shimon, you can bring an animal and you can say, look, I may need this as an Asham, or I may need this as a Shlamim. I'm not sure, because of my halachic mess. So Rabbi Shimon and the Braisa says, and the Tosefta says, bring it out tonight. Bring it on condition. It's good. That's the take-home point. So the Gemara says, so here also, according to Rabbi Shimon, don't move from the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah says, bring five menachos. Good. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, bring five menachos, and here's what you do. You'll bring one isaron of mafetanur chala. You'll bring one isaron of mafetanur rikikin. Of each isaron, you're going to make 10 loaves. And you're going to say, look, whichever combination I need, if I need a 10-0 or a 0-10, fine. If I need a 1-9, good. In other words, I have it all here. I'm just going to bring it on condition. And what's going to happen with the balance, with the remainder? Nedava. It just simply is a donated mincha offering. That is essentially what the Gemara said. That's what we got to yesterday. That took us to Kuf Hei Amud Beis. Okay. We're going to continue in the Gemara Kuf Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara has one loose end. It's got to tie up on this discussion of making a Tanai. We are going to go through it right now. It's 5 lines for the top of the Amud. In the Gemara, we're starting with the words Af Agav. Okay? So, right, set ourselves up so far for this point of the Gemara. We are right in the middle of the Sugya. I should have gone through this part yesterday. Now, if you remember back in Zvachim, here the Gemara calls Zvachim Shchitas Kachim. Okay, because that's what Zvachim is. The shechting of sanctified foods. So, Amar B'Shchitas Kachim. Eimad Amar Rabbi Shimon Maisi Umasne Lechatchila Letikune Gavra. Look, this idea that according to Rabbi Shimon, you can make a condition, yeah, in the complex scenario, which we didn't really go through, but in the complex scenario, Rabbi Shimon says, absolutely correct. You can make it Tanai. But that's because he needs it. Meaning, he's right now in the state of being somewhere in the middle of being a Mitzor or not a Mitzor. Or somewhere in the middle of being a Nazir or not being a Nazir. And he wants to complete it. He wants to conclude on both points. Certainly on the Tzara's point, because he can never go into the Beis HaMikdash again and he can never catch him again. So in other words, for him, the ability to make a Tanai facilitates his ability to go into the Beis HaMikdash. So I totally understand why over there Rabbi Shimon will make an allowance. Aval, the Alma, the Evelin Chatzkil alone. But generally speaking, Rabbi Shimon is not so crazy about bringing a carbon on condition. He doesn't like the idea in general. So what you're doing is, this is a Gemara's observation, you seem to be taking Rabbi Shimon out of context. In the context of helping a person out so that he can go back into the Beis HaMikdash, there Rabbi Shimon says, you know what, yeah, bring the animal on condition. You may not need it as an ashram, so it'll be a shlamim. Good, that's fine. But generally speaking, Rabbi Shimon frowns upon bringing carbon conditionally. If I need it, it should be this, and if I don't need it, it should be that. Rabbi Shimon, generally speaking, does not like it. The evidence of chatzchil alav. So the Gemara says that's true. That point is well taken, but still we can still maintain that our mission is going like Rabbi Shimon. How? Because hani mili gabi shlamim dekamem ma'id ba'achilasan. That's true by a shlamim. Meaning, why in general does Rabbi Shimon not like making conditions? Because what you're doing is you're cutting off the shelf life of a carbon. And in general, we've spoken about this idea many times throughout Zvachim and throughout Menachos. We do not like to cut off the shelf life. A shlamim, for example, has 2 days to be eaten. An ashram only has 1 day to be eaten. So if I bring a carbon on condition, if I need it as a shlamim, if I need it as an ashram, it should be an ashram. Generally speaking, Rabbi Shimon doesn't like that because if we have to treat it like an ashram, that means that we only have 1 day and 1 night to eat it. We lose a day of eating it if, in fact, it really is a shlamim. So you're memayed ba'achilasan. You are cutting off the shelf life of a carbon, and generally speaking, we don't like that. The havelu kashim on beis apsul, right? You're going to take kashim and you're going to throw it into the beis apsul. Beis apsul just simply means into the garbage, and we don't like that. So that's in general why Rabbi Shimon says I don't like this Tanai business, because you're going to end up cutting off the eating time of a carbon. Ava menachos, but here remember we're not learning zvachim, we're learning menachos. Yeah, right. Oh, good. We're learning menachos. And in the world of menachos, there's no cutting off. Meaning, it may be a machvas, it may be a marcheshes. In this case, it may be a mafatan or chala, maybe a mafatan or kikin. So what? They're all built on the same schedule. So there is no memayit ba'achilasam. There's no maybe l'day psul. Afil l'chatchila, even l'chatchila, Rabbi Shimon would say, go ahead. It's okay, you can make it tonight. Good. All right, so that's one loose end that we tied up. And now we are good. When I say we are good, what I mean by that is we are good now to explore a whole host of other issues that come up in Shitas Rabbi Shimon. So now good. So now we basically created a framework where our Mishnah, first Mishnah, the 13th parak of Menachos, our Mishnah presents a scenario where I said Pirashti. I know I specified one particular mincha. I do not know which mincha I specified. So the Mishnah says, okay, bring five Menachos. And what the Gemara now has successfully done is said that this position of the Mishnah can even adopt itself to the position of Rabbi Shimon, even though according to Rabbi Shimon there are 14 different permutations of what you can bring. But still, even according to Rabbi Shimon, you'll bring five. And in order to satisfy the 14 various permutations, or specifically the 11 permutations that come up from having mafatan or either chalos or rikikin or a combination, you'll simply make it tonight. Get good.
Is there a time in terms of the menachos that open? We said the usher was one day, etc. How about menachos?
Menachos, you have one day and one night to eat it. It's kachi kachim, and it can only be eaten by zichre kahuna. Okay, so Amar Papa La Abaye. Okay, the Gemara continues. Rabbi Shimon Damar Mechzer Chalos Mechzer Rekikin Yavi Hakamaisi Isaron Echad Mishnei Isaron Veluga Echad Mishnei Lugin. So the Gemara presents other issues that come up over here. Like for example, okay, according to Rabbi Shimon, this is a combo, right? In other words, on the menu for Rabbi Shimon, you have what's called a mafatanor. That's a compound. It's a blend of chalos and rikikin. Okay, again, it could be 5 and 5, it could be 4 and 6, good. But when you bring it in of itself, in other words, forget what's going on right now, in of itself, what do you normally do? It's one isaron. And then, according to Rabbi Shimon, you have the choice. In other words, you can make it 5 and 5, 4 and 6, 7 and 3, but the point of the matter is it comes from one isaron. Now, over here, think about it. What's happening? Based on our adaptation of our Mishnah to Rabbi Shimon, you're starting off with two Isaron, and basically you're saying, look, with this full Isaron, I'm going to make 10 loaves of Rekikin. With this full Isaron, I'm going to make 10 loaves of Chalas. Now, it could be that I said 5 and 5. Okay, so I'll take 5 from here. I'll take 5 from here. I'll put them together, if that's what I need, to fulfill my vow. And that will be my mincha. Good. What the Gemara points out over here is a very straightforward problem, which is this 5 and 5 did not all come from the same Isaron. 5 came from one Isaron. 5 represents half of one Isaron. 5 represents half of another Isaron. Does that work in Menachos? Meaning, I know I need an Isaron, but don't I normally need to start off with one Isaron and create my mincha from one Isaron? Whereas opposed to over here, I'm starting off with two, I'm taking a half Isaron from this one and a half Isaron from this one. Does that work? And the Gemara is going to essentially say, yeah, it works. But in the Havamin of the Gemara thought, it may not work because it's not coming all from the same Isaron. The Gemara says, and the Gemara points out, and the same thing is also true by the oil. Meaning, again, a regular mincha comes with one log shemen. In Rabbi Shimon's combo package, it would have been one isaron and one log. Here now, because of our Mishnah and the scenario that we're in, I'm taking half a log of oil from this and half a log from this, and does that work? And the Gemara is going to answer, yeah, that works. Shamina le Rabbi Shimon damar im hevi yisaron echa mishnei yisaronos v'log echa mishnei login yotza. Okay, good. All right, so that's question answer, pretty straightforward. Next, umekames hecha kametz. Okay, next halachic hurdle. With every mincha, you have to do kamitza, which means, and now we're talking about oven-baked. So don't go back to your days of the Solas, where we talked about doing the kamitza while it was flour. Kamitza with your mafetanor, your macheshes, your machvas, is done after baking. After baking, we learned this earlier in the Masechta, you break it into pieces, and then you do kamitza on the pieces. Okay, so the Gemara now wants to know, how are you doing kamitza over here? So umikamitz echem ikamitz demasni va'amar. So the Gemara says like this. Now, remember, according to Rabbi Shimon, we have 10 loaves of rikikin, 10 loaves of chalos, and according to Rabbi Shimon, we're making a condition. Look, I know it could be a combo. It could be 0 and 10. It could be 5 and 5. It could be anything in between. Right? I know that. But ultimately, I'm going to do a kemitza from this, from these 10 loaves, and I'm going to do a kemitza from these 10 loaves. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Shimon, here's how you're going to do it. Okay, good. So if what my neder was all chalos, so good. And if my neder was all rikikin, that would also be good. Because I did a kemitza on the chal and I did the kemitza on the rikikin. Fine. Imechza rikikin imechza chalos. However, here's where the problem is. Let's say I went half and half. Five here, five here. Now for Rabbi Shimon, let's just deal with the simple scenario where I only had one isaron. I made five of the loaves chalos. I made five of the loaves rikikin. Okay, how would you do kemitza? So what you normally would do is you would do a kemitza from the two of them. So, but over here now, because of our bizarre scenario, because you had to bring both because you're not sure which one. So, and I'm doing kemitza on each one individually. So, how does that work according to Rabbi Shimon? So Amre, so the Gemara now is going to try to explain, so when I do my kemitza on the chalos, I'm going to have in mind, again, if necessary, this is all built on a tanai, on a condition, if necessary, the kemitza I'm doing right now on the chalos is going half on the chalos, half on the rikikin, and when I do the kemitza on the rikikin, I'm going to have in mind, half of it is on the rikikin, half of on the chalos. So the Gemara says, does that work according to Rabbi Shimon? Meaning, if I'm in a combo mode, where I'm making my mafet tanur as a combination of the both, shouldn't the kemitza be from both? And the Gemara is essentially going to ask that question. V'habay mikametz chad kometz mechalos u'mirikikin v'ka kometz mechalos arikikin u'mirikikin a'chalos. And the Gemara now says, how did that happen? How can that work? Where my kometz on the chalos is going on both? Don't I need to do one kemitza that actually physically has both of them in my hands? And the Gemara says, Shamin le Rabbi Shimon, Damar mim kamatz v'ala b'yadam echad al shneihem yatsa. And again, the Gemara's answer, very straightforward. It works according to Rabbi Shimon. Because look, says the Gemara, even if we didn't have everything else, even if I only had five rikikin and five chalos, and I crumbled and I put it together, and now I do a kemitza, I don't have to actually get both of them to come into my fist. I don't need pieces of the rikikin and the chalos to come in my fist. In fact, Rabbi Shimon says that if I get one of the two into my fist, that would work. So over here, they are obviously coming from two different matches. For sure I won't get both of them into my fist. But the point is that according to Rabbi Shimon, that would work as well. Such a kemitza would work.
So you're going to do one kemitza from each batch.
You're going to do one kemitza from each batch, and with each kemitza you're going to have in mind, it could either be that I'm doing it for all the chalos, or I'm doing it for the chalos and the rikikin, depending on whatever number permutation I have. Okay, next. The ha'ika mosa shemen. The Gemara points out now, there is going to be a little bit of oil left over. Why? Because, according to Rabbi Shimon, we've pointed out that when it comes to rikikin, so what exactly, how is the rikikin prepared? So it's oil, then I put the flour, and then with rikikin, I smear the oil on top, right? And it just, if you remember earlier, we learned the smear has to be like a chai. And then there's going to be most Hashem and there's going to be leftover oil. Now Rabbi Shimon says that in a combo package, what I do with that leftover oil is I pour it in back into over the chalos. Okay? So the chalos is going to get a little bit of extra oil. But, so the Gemara says, but over here, in our scenario, in our bizarre scenario, that's not going to work. Because ikul rikikin amar most Hashem and nechal kohanim. I'm sorry, this is already the answer. So the Gemara... Yeah. Right. E kula rikikin amar most Hashem nechal kohanim. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. D'tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda omer. Mishum Rabbi Shimon. Moshchan kemin chai. Most Hashem nechal kohanim. So the Gemara says again over here, you're right. There is going to be a little bit of spare oil Okay, so what? In other words, not so what? Spare oil also goes to the Kohanim. So in this particular scenario, you only smeared a little bit of the oil over the Rekikin, and then what you do with the remainder of the oil is you give it to the Kohanim. And the Kohanim are going to eat it in the state of Kedusha. Okay. Amalei Rav Kahana L'Rav Ashiva, Ikal Esfuke B'Minchas Nesachim. Okay, good. We move on. We're not going to, don't worry, we'll come back to Rabbi Shimon, right? There's still more to go in terms of analysis of Rabbi Shimon, but the Gemara has dealt with a number of halachic hurdles in terms of how this can work, how you can bring the your combo package for Rabbi Shimon and do it all out tonight. Okay, next. In our Mishnah, you said the words Peirashti. Okay, let's go back to our Mishnah. I specified a type of mincha, but lo and behold, I forgot. I forgot which mincha it is that I actually offered. And the Mishnah said to us, okay, so you're going to bring all five. And what we have successfully done over the past daf of Gemara is said that that even works according to Rabbi Shimon. Now the Gemara is going to go back and review the Mishnah and say, wait a second. You said mincha and you specified a type of mincha and you forgot which one. You know, there's another type of mincha which the Mishnah doesn't even deal with, which is minchas nesachim. Minchas nesachim is what we normally call Nesachim, but it also goes by the name of Minchas Nesachim, which is the flour and oil that is brought in conjunction with a carbon. Now, we learned earlier in the Masechta that if you want to bring Nesachim by itself, if you want to donate Nesachim by itself, you absolutely may. Okay, and it's going to be burnt on the Mizbeach like regular Nesachim. So the Gemara now wants to know a simple question. When the Mishnah's case where you said Peirashti, so how come the Mishnah is not anticipating that maybe what you said was not machvas, not marcheshes, not mafetanur, not soles, but nesachim or minchas nesachim? So I'm a Rav Kahana L'Rav Ashiva Ha'ika L'Sfuka B'Minchas Nesachim Damer Rav Misnah Devad Minchas Nesachim B'Chol Yom. A person is allowed to donate minchas nesachim. So maybe what you said was minchas nesachim. Okay. And the Gemara is going to answer, basically, the Gemara is going to say the answer five different ways. Okay, so we're going to hear this answer. It's essentially the same answer, but reflected in five different ways. And the answer is, if I may, just, you know, give it away, and then we'll go inside in the Gemara. Minchas Nesachim is weird. Okay, I know I'm not giving a formal, legal, scholarly presentation of the Gemara, I understand that. But basically what the Gemara is saying is that Minchas Nesachim is weird. Look, you probably, when you say that you were ready to donate a mincha, you probably meant a standard mincha, right? Which is any one of the five. Those are standard menachos. You're right, there is a sixth type which is called Minchas Nesachim, but it is so unlikely that that is what you offered. And what the Gemara is now going to point to is the weirdness of Minchas Nesachim. It's so bizarre, it's so unusual, it's probably not what you suggested. And the Gemara says, number one, right, and you have a mnemonic to help you remember what makes Minchas Nesachim so bizarre, so strange, so muzar, that it's not it. It's not what you suggested. Ki kimistaf galei, babaglal yachid, babaglal tzibor la mistaf galei. So you were thinking about something that an individual brings. Nesachim is not just by an individual. Nesachim is also by communal as well. Communal karbanos get nesachim, right? Parshas Pinchas coming up soon enough. So good. So ki kamistaf galei, babaglal atma, babaglal zevach la mistaf galei. And also, you, when you made your nander about bringing a mincha, you had in mind a self-standing mincha. Or you most probably had in mind a self-standing mincha. Right? Nesachim, generally speaking, it could be brought on its own. A person could volunteer to be brought on its own. But generally speaking, it's not brought on its own. It's brought in conjunction with a carbon. That's number two. Kika mistaf galei tu'una levona. Shena tu'una levona la mistaf galei. Another thing is that by a mincha, or the five voluntary menachos, each one of them has Lavona. Nesachim does not have Lavona. There's no frankincense that's poured over the top of Nesachim. Nesachim is just simply a combination of flour and oil, and you put on the Mizbech and you burn on the Mizbech, and there's no Lavona. And so it makes it so unusual, so bizarre, it's probably not what you had in mind. Another thing, Kika Mistaf Galei, Baba Log, Baba Shoshalog, and Log Mistaf Galei. Also, your standard mincha has one log shemen, right? One a 16-ounce cup of oil. And that's what a standard mincha has. However, Nesachim has minimally 3 log of oil. So, And so, again, in terms of volume, you probably had in mind the typical volume of a mincha, which is 1 isaron, not the 3 is, not the, I'm sorry, sorry, the 1 log, not the 3 log that a, that Nesachim has. And finally, and also, when you had a mincha in mind, you probably had in your mind kemitza, right? Which is, again, standard for a mincha. Nesachim, there's no kemitza by Nesachim. If you volunteer Nesachim, what that now means is that you're going to bring flour and oil, you're going to mix the two together at a different ratio, not 1-7, but 3-7, and there's no kemitza. The whole thing is burnt on the Mizbeach. So when you said, I had a mincha in mind, and I expressed specifically a type of mincha, but I forgot, it is highly unlikely, basically argues the Gemara, that what you had in mind was Nesachim. Even though technically Nesachim is a type of mincha, but that's not what you had in mind. Because it's weird, it's bizarre. The Gemara points out there are 5 basic differences between your standard mincha and your mincha Nesachim. You can at least know with enough certainty that it wasn't Nesachim that you set aside. Perashti mincha shel esronim. Tanu rabbanim. Perashti mincha vekavati bekli echad. Shel esronim ve'ein yodea ma perashti. Okay. We're now going to spend the rest of today's daf dealing with the last case of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, the last case of our Mishnah, if you go back to Kuf Dalam and Beis, the first Mishnah, the 13th parak of Menachos, so you will see that the following scenario comes up. You were mefarish mincha shel esronim, meaning you know it was a quantity, right? Probably more than one. And eni yodea kamei perashti, but you just don't know the number. You don't remember which number it is. So yavi shishim isaron. So the Tanakhama of our Mishnah said you're going to bring 60 isaron, and your stipulation is going to be so simple. Whatever number I said, that will be my chova. That will satisfy my personal obligation, my neder, and then whatever is remaining, whatever is in the balance, that'll be nedava. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. And Rebbe says, no, that's not what you do. But yavi menachos shel esronim me'echad ve'ad shishim. You have to actually bring 60 separate bowls, each bowl containing a number. One bowl will have one, second bowl will have two, and you will have now 60 bowls ranging in numbers from 1 isaron to 60 isaron. You will bring that, and that and only that can satisfy your obligation.
If you look at it, it seems like Rebbe here is more consistent with what he said previously. In the case of Menachot, right? When he said Menachot, he brought 5 Menachot to cover all the bases.
Right.
So Rebbe is consistent, but the Chachamim don't seem to be consistent.
Okay, so wait, because we'll see more information about this. So Tana Rabbanan. So now the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa, and the Braisa is going to spell it out. And the Braisa will do a little bit of math for us as well. Yesterday we did the math. The Braisa today will do the work for us. Huh? It's right. So
right.
Perashti mincha vekavati bekli echad shel esronim. Ve'eini yodea ma perashti. Yavi mincha shel shishim esronim divrei chachamim. So again, the Braisa here articulates the opinion of the Chachamim, which is bring one bowl of 60, and whatever number you said will be there. Whatever's left over, nedava. Good. Rabbi Omer Yavi Menacha Shalasronim Echad Vashishim Shehein Elef Ushmona Meos Ushloshim. So it comes out to a total of 1,830. Right, that was our number we said yesterday. 1,830. Okay, now, we made this point yesterday. The Tosefta, the Bryce, is going to say it straight out. Perashti ve'ena yodea ma perashti ve'eza mehen perashti ve'ena yodea kame perashti. Okay, person comes in front of the base of Mikdash, and you know I need to speak to somebody. Here's what I did. Okay, I made a vow, a neder. Right, the Gemara says many times. We've seen the Gemara many times. It's better not to make nedarim at all. Yeah. Okay, good. Pasuk and Mishlei. I made a neder, and here's what I know. I know that I specified one of the menachos. I know there are 5 of them. I specified one of the menachos. And I also specified an amount and I don't remember either one. I don't remember which mincha it was, and I don't remember the amount. So, for the chachamim, it's not so bad. So from the chachamim standpoint, it's still a lot. It's still going to be a lot, but at least, you know, we could talk in these numbers. You're going to have to now bring from every one of the five different menachos a bowl made up of 60 esronim, and again, with each one you'll stipulate whatever my number was. And in other words, there are two stipulations, meaning I don't know which type I offered, so here's I'm bringing all five. I don't know the quantity, so of each five I'm going to be bringing 60, of which, whichever my number is, will be my neder. Whatever surplus is nedava. Good. Rabbi Omer, you will guess correctly that according to Rabbi now, talk about a proliferation of menachos. Yavi chamesh menachos shoshishim esronim me'echad ve'ashishim sheheim. And the Gemara here helps us with the math. It's just a simple sum. Tisha alafim u'me'a v'chamishim. Right, it will come out to 9,150 separate menachos. Shel shishim esronim me'echad ve'achi. I'm sorry. Me'a v'chamishim. Period. Okay, that is the end of the braisa. And it's logical, meaning if you take each position to its logical conclusion, for the Chachamim, you have 300 menachos. And according to Rebbe, under such a situation, you will have over 9,000 menachos.
So if you're poor.
Yeah. If you're poor, you're in. The Gemara would like to now offer. It's funny, Rashi did this in the Mishnah, but the Gemara would now like to offer analysis and explanation of the debate between the Chachamim and Rebbe. Meaning, why is it, simple question the Gemara is basically going to deal with, why is it that the Chachamim allow you to, let's go back to the first case of the Braiso, the case of the Mishnah, it's a little bit easier. You know which type you specify, you just didn't know quantity. Why is it that the Chachamim will allow you to bring it all in one bowl, and basically in that bowl say, look, whatever's my neder, it's in there. Whatever's over my neder, it will be nedava. And Rabbi says, no, you can't do that. You got to bring 60 separate bowls, and whatever your number will be in there, meaning one of those bowls will represent your number, and the other ones will be nedava. But why? Why does the Chachamim allow you to throw it all into one bowl, which obviously will make your life a lot easier, and will be less stress on the pocket? And why, according to Rebbe, do you actually have to bring 60 separate menachos? Okay. The Gemara will offer four different ways to explain the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. So, b'maika miflagi. So, this is now number one. So, Amar Avchista b'moser lekohanim chulin. I'm sorry. Let me do that again. Amar Avchista b'mut lekohanim chulin. So explanation number one over here is the following. Are you allowed to bring chulin into the azara? Now, it's funny. Normally the answer is no. Right? It shouldn't be subject to a debate. Meaning the answer normally is, can I, right? Chulin ba'azara, right? We've gone through enough kachim, and we're going to see more of this as we go through more of Seder kachim. You're not allowed to bring chulin into the azara. That's generally speaking our position that we take time and again. And the Gemara over here says that's the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rebbe. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi here is going to help us navigate a little bit, a better understanding of what's going on over here. What do you mean? What does that mean? They're arguing about whether or not you're allowed to bring chulin lazara. So Rashi writes, Rabbanan Savri Mutal Hachnis chulin lazara. According to the Chachamim, you're allowed to bring chulin into the azara. Hilkach yavi b'shishim isaron b'kli echad v'yidna im kulam v'yisne. So according to the Chachamim, here's what you do. You take one bowl and you put 60 isaron in that one bowl and you make a tanai, you make a condition. Im kulan adarti kulan chavasi. Look, if I said 60, so I'm covered. V'im lav mashin adarti elo chavasi v'ashar chulin. Whatever, and if I didn't say 60, but if I said rather 30, okay, or whatever number you said in between, so fine. And the balance is going to be chulin. Now listen carefully. This part is tricky. Aval hashalom adav lamati li isuye. Okay. Why not simply say, which is really what we've been saying from the beginning of the 13th parak, that the balance is going to be nedava, meaning up until this point in the Gemara, that's what we've been saying, the balance is going to be nedava. Rashi here now is going to help us understand why we're not saying that at this point in time. Rashi says over here, one of the basic principles that is going into this Gemara and this explanation of Rebbe and the Chachamim is that you can't mix neder nedava. Neder nedava are two different types of menachos, if you will, two different categories. You can't mix neder and nedava. So therefore, the best thing you could do is simply say, whatever I offered is going to be, whatever my number is neder. This is an explanation right now of the Chachamim. Whatever I offered is neder, whatever my number was, and the balance is going to be chulin. Now, Rashi's going to deal with another obstacle. Okay? V'ikasha hachinami hechi karv komets. So, okay. So, it's now possible that in one bowl, I'm going to have kachim and chulin. Okay. Which in of itself is strange. But now, just with a simple technical question, I'm going to dip my hand and I'm going to take a kamitsa. You know, what may go up in my hand now may be part of the chulin. So Rashi now is wondering out loud, well, how does that work? So the Gemara, Rashi says, "Ha havik tzas min a komet chulin va'od mincha hechem ishtari v'halo ikmetze komet shalem de tzas min a komet have chulin." So essentially, Rashi says, "How does that work?" So Tariz kid the tartin about komet rabba. So Rashi says, we're going to have to remind ourselves of a Gemara that we did way earlier. Right, with two months earlier, the Gemara earlier in the third parak of Menachos, Bedaita de Kohen Talia, most of the Kohen Daito Akodesh Vela Achulin. Komets is Talui is dependent on the mindset of the Kohen, meaning the Kohen when he puts his hand into that flower, so he can so to say direct his hand, or if you will, direct the flower so that the flower that ends up in his hands is going to be the neder, not the kodesh, not the chulin. Okay.
But there's no even there's no comments with chulin either. What's the comments with chulin? What's the point of doing comments with chulin?
It's Rashi's. There's no point in it. And what bothers Rashi is that if chulin went into your hands, so number one, you're now actually burning chulin on the mizbeach. And the other problem that Rashi articulates is, he didn't do a full kometz, meaning in order to matir the remainder of the mincha, you need to do a full kometz. Whatever chulin went into your hand, if that's in fact the case, is now going to diminish from the amount of kometz in your hand. So Rashi therefore answers, based on the Gemara that we learned earlier, that no, when it comes to kemitza, the kemitza is totally on the das kohen. Okay. Good. So let's go back to the Gemara. So Asal Achnis Chun La'Azara, Rabbanim Savrei, Mutal Achnis Chun La'Azara. I'm sorry. Amar Chista. So this is approach number one. I'm just going to quickly reread it. The Mutal Achnis Chun La'Azara, Kemetlegi Rabbi Savrei, Asal Achnis Chun La'Azara, Rabbanim Savrei, Mutal Achnis Chun La'Azara. Okay. Rava Amar Dekuli Amar Asal Achnis Chun La'Azara. Rava says no. This issue is not even up for debate. You're for sure not allowed to bring chulin into the Azara. Over here, the issue is as follows. Meaning, what the Gemara assumed earlier, and the Gemara now says is actually not an assumption, but rather the actual debate. Can I mix neder and nedava together? Am I allowed to do that? So Rabbanim Savrei Mutar La'Arev Chova B'Nedava. So the Chachamim said, sure. That's why according to the Chachamim, I don't know what number I had in mind. And the number ranged 1 to 60, fine. So bring one bowl, have 60 starting in that one bowl, and simply stipulate. Whatever my number was, that's neder. The imbalance is nedava, and the chachamim actually maintain you're allowed to mix neder and nedava together. And Rabbi Savar, Asa la'arev chova b'nedava. Okay. That is now approach number two to understand the machlokas between the chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi would say bring 60.
I'm sorry, Rabbi and the chachamim. Right. Rebbe would say bring 60 separate bowls. That way, whatever your bowl is, whatever your number was, that's going to be neder. The other bowls are going to be nedava, but you don't violate the principle. I don't know what the violation actually is. Meaning for me, I need a better understanding and a better way to articulate what's the issue of mixing neder and nedava. But Rebbe maintains you're not allowed to mix neder and nedava together. So Amalei Abaye LeRava LeRabbanan Darmi Mutar La'arev Chova BeNedava HaBeinan Shnei Kamatzim. So now the Gemara goes back to technical issues. Okay, fine. So I have one bowl, 60 Isaron, whatever my number was, let's say my number was 30. 30 of it's going to be neder, the other 30 is going to be nedava. Okay, good. Kamitza, right? You have to do kamitza. And you have to do kamitza on both menachos. Granted that they are mixed in the same bowl together, but how are you doing a kamitza on both menachos? So the comments vah the comments. So the Gemara starts off by saying, okay, do one followed by another. Okay, one kamitza, another kamitza. So the Gemara says, vahaka comments mechova anedava, u minedava achova. So the Gemara is going to give the answer that we already saw in Rashi. So the talile bedas kohen. So the amar kolhecha demachi yada the kohen hashtachova ulavisof nedava. So the Gemara is going to answer. Look, in terms of the comets, the kohen navigates his hand. So wherever his hand goes, that's going to be the comets of the neder. Wherever his hand goes, that's going to be the comets of the nedava. Okay, good. The ikturi hechi matir. So the Gemara says, okay, good. You have the comets now in your hand. Good. Now, what do you do with the next part of the comets? Well, I'm sorry, what's the next part of the process? Burn the comets on the Mizbeach. Okay, how are you doing that? So, Lichter in Adava Beresha, Dechova, Hechim Akterle. So the Gemara says, okay, you have two comets. You have one comet of Nedra, one comet of Nedava. So let's now say, I'll burn the Nedava first. That's going to be a problem. Why? Dilma kula chovehi. Because remember, you don't know of the 60 Yisaron, you don't know how much is neder, how much is nedava. And there is that possibility that all 60 are neder. In other words, your pledge was actually 60. Good. So if that's true, so what you just burnt on the Mizbeach is part of the neder. Meaning, you took it off as a comment for the nedava, just in case I needed to. But there's also a possibility that which your hand is in your hand is just simply part of the mincha, the shirayim of the neder. So, chovahi v'chaster lu shirayim. And problem is that you're going to be depleting from the shirayim. V'amamar. Shirayim shechaster ben kemitza l'aktara in makter komet alayim. So, and you know that you're not allowed to deplete shirayim, meaning when you burn the comets of the mincha, the shirayim have to be intact. And then let's go the other way. Lichter chova bereisha de nedava, hechem akterlu. Okay, fine. So I'll burn the chova comets first, and then I'll burn the nedava comets second. So the Gemara says that's also not going to work. V'dilma, top of kuf vav amud beis, v'dilma kula chovehi, v'choshehu mimenu li'ishim, hare b'bal taktiru. The Gemara says, let's think about this. Let's think all the way through. I'll burn the chova comets first. Good. Okay? And that burning of that comet is great. Now I have another comet, right now, I'll get another comet to come over here. I have another comet made up of the nedava. Now remember, we don't know if there really is a nedava in this bowl. Could be that there's no nedava in this bowl. Could be that my personal obligation, my neder was 60 yisara. So now what I'm holding in my hand is really shirayim. Okay. And if that's the case, I am now burning shirayim on the mizbeach. You can't do that. Right? The part is supposed to be burned on the mizbeach is burned on the mizbeach. And the part that's not supposed to be burned on the mizbeach is usher to burn on the mizbeach. Shuhumi menu li'ishim harebe b'al taktiru. In fact, we learned early in the Masechta there's an Isser in the Torah. One of the 365 lavin in the Torah is that you're not allowed to burn things on the Mizbeach that are not meant to go onto the Mizbeach. So Am Rav Yehuda b'Rei Rav Yishmael Mepazi Damasik Luli L'Shum Eitzim Uche Rebbe Eliezer D'Tanya Rebbe Eliezer Omer L'Reich Nichochi Atamala Aval Atamala L'Shum Eitzim. So over here, to help our case over here, so what we're going to have to do is subscribe to the Rebbe Eliezer rule, which is, to burn it on the Mizbeach and treat it like carbon, that you're not allowed to do. But if you want to burn on the Mizbeach and look at it and perceive it as wood, as fuel, that you are allowed to do.
Is there no obligation on part of the Kohen to actually eat the shirim as
correct?
Does a Kohen have that option?
There's a positive mitzvah, right? There's a positive mitzvah to eat the shirim, and there's a negative prohibition not to burn on the mizbeach.
So does a Kohen have the option to burn his
shirim on the
mizbeach? Even as fuel. Does he have that option?
Generally speaking, no. In this case, because he has to anticipate that maybe part of that mincha it's a compound of neder and nedava, so therefore he's going to bring the komets of the nedava. There may not be nedava altogether. So then the Gemara says, so now we could fall back on Rabbi Eliezer's viewpoint, which allows you to burn something and look at it. If you're burning it as komets, that you can't do. But if you want to view it as fuel, it's a chiddush, it's a novel approach, but if you want to burn it as fuel, so that you're allowed to do. So the Gemara says, so we'll fall back on Rabbi Elazar's viewpoint, and that's how we could burn both. Okay, we'll pause over here. We are out of time. Okay, so good. So what we covered today, tough little bit of Gemara today. admittedly, right? What we covered today is we've tied up now how our mission, the first mission of the Masechta, could be going like Rabbi Shimon, even though according to Rabbi Shimon, there are not five different menachos, there actually are 14 different types of menachos, but using a method of Tanai, of stipulating, of making condition, our mission can go like Rabbi Shimon. There are a number of halachic hurdles that the Gemara dealt with, and the Gemara dealt with it. Then, we are now in the middle, and tomorrow morning we'll finish up the discussion of what is the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim in the event that you stipulated a number, but you didn't know how much, what your number actually was, how many Yisrael you offered. So according to the Chachamim, put 60 in one bowl. According to Rebbe, you need 60 separate bowls. How do we understand that machlokas? So far, we are now have given two ways to explain the machlokas. One is that you're not allowed to bring chulin to the Azara. That's one way of explaining the machlokas. Or right now we're in the middle of the second way of explaining the machlokas. Am I allowed to mix neder in a dava? According to the Chachamim, you are allowed to mix neder in a dava. According to Rebbe, you're not allowed to mix neder in a dava. And what we're in the middle of doing right now is basically dealing with other halachic considerations in terms of how to do komets when neder and a dava is mixed together. Okay. You got it all on tape. You can hear it later today. I know it was confusing day today, but hopefully I made some clarity out of the day.